Blog Talk Radio.
People try to find that one. And they always come up with none. I'm not trying to end up like them,
no.
Cause being lonely just ain't for me.
Ain't for me.
So I'm steady
searching,
cause I know she's out there
lurking.
And she's gonna put it down till I'm done. She's gonna be the best I ever had.
I'm looking for the one.
Satisfy her every need. Love her so good, she will never wanna
leave.
Now I'm gonna make the same mistake. Now I got an ice box where my heart used to be. So I'm steady
searching.
Cause I know she's out there
lurking.
I'ma put it down till she's done. I'ma be the best she's ever had.
I'm looking for the way.
What's happening? This is G-Bev. It's 10:04 on a Sunday night. Where are you? Is the question. That was by Dave B. Soul, one of my boys. Just give him a little shout out. Great artist, love his songs, music. So I was using that as my intro. It's been a minute since I've been on, y'all. It's been a minute. But I do tell you this. Everything that's going in right now in my life is happening for a purpose. And it's happening for a reason. So without further ado, you know, I got to get the the house cleaning stuff out of the way. So you can follow me on Facebook at george.mango904. You can also follow me at Twitter at soundoff97413. That's at Twitter at soundoff97413. You also can call in if you like. I don't know how many calls I'll be taking tonight, but I there's a lot of stuff that I need to talk about. But I will take a couple calls. So if you want to call in, it's area code 516-666-98. I talked about this 66 number. They gave me a new number, and they did that on purpose. But, you know, I cancel the devil. I ain't feeling with that. But you know how we do it. We do it with Ephesians 6, verses 6 through 13, reading from the King James Version. It says, "Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever so good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is the respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done to stand." Now, I'm going to invite you over to my church in Eugene, Oregon. Great organization, great church. My pastor is Pastor Cole Stubbs. My first lady is Assistant Pastor Sandra Stubbs. Now, I'm going to say these things. What I'm speaking on is my own personal beliefs. Now, nor does my pastor nor first lady disagree of me having my own opinion, the church that I go to. These are my thoughts. So as I go and continue to say these things, there are going to be some things that I reference that may come from my pastor, but these are all my thoughts, okay? So I would like to invite you over to Powerhouse Worship Center at 687 River Road in Oregon, 97404 area code. We have an evangelistic service on Sunday at 9 a.m. and at 11:30, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. If you would like to go, you can go on Facebook, and you can go to the Facebook church page, and so it's whworshipcenter.com, or you can go and just type in Powerhouse Worship Center. Powerhouse is one word. Glory to God, glory to God. Now, it's been a minute, and I'm excited to be partaking with my fellow audience. You know how much I love y'all. Y'all is some very studious, awesome people that listen to me. And I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for allowing me the time of your life and the space and the regions to amplify what I say. Now, for those who are joining me newly to my channel, this is Sound Off Forms. This is the place where you can call in. This is the place where you can post stuff on my Facebook page, on my Sound Off Facebook page, if you have ideas, if you have concerns, if you feel like you need to get something off your chest. This is the place to do it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason why I started this show, is because there are things in this world that we cannot see, nor do we understand. So by saying this, you have to understand that the love of Christ and how he prepares us is always the right way of preparing us. You may not agree with that, but in reality, that is what it is designed to do. It is designed to go through the motions. It's designed to go through life and understand the journey and know that the journey is part of you. And if you really don't understand that, you got to get the nuts and bolts of it, because the reality is the love of God will carry you farther than what you think that you can do. The love of God will carry you to a place in your life that will allow you to be successful. So what I'm about to do, usually I use it into a segue about what I'm going to play. So I'll give you a little understanding. Now, another thing is I do not have the copyright to be playing this information, but it's also able to be downloaded and to be heard. So I'm going to disseminate this information. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it, and when I play it, I want to explain it to you so that everybody's on the same page and there's no confusion. Okay, so I was watching a YouTube video, and it was with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Now, he's an astrophysicist. He's a leading author, a leading scientist in the science community, and he is highly respected around the world. He's been in all types of movies, all types of comedy, and this specific interview that I'm about to play comes from Stephen Colbert's show. It was a late night show. The reason why I'm about to play this is because I'm about to show you the marvels of God. I am about to show you the pearls of the mystery of God. You may not agree with me, but in my opinion, this is my opinion. It's not factual. I'm saying it now because that's what I say. This is in my opinion. Neil deGrasse Tyson is telling you that God existed. All right? That God exists. He doesn't believe of God. He believes of a higher power, but he believes in science. He believes in the Big Bang Theory, which you will hear. But he says it himself when he says certain things that keeps him up at night. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and when I play it, after it, I will talk about it.
Tonight is the beloved astrophysicist, author, and director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. Please welcome my friend, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Beautiful. I love the stars.
Just for you, my friend.
Love what you've done with the place.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, you know, on the old gig over on the other network, you were the guest I had more than any other guest.
Really?
Yeah, you were there. You know that you
were
my guest.
Could it be that I lived nearby, so I was a cheap date?
Could it be we moved the studio someplace close to you so we could be near you, Neil? I just found out that you're also you're holding a vast lead on anybody else on this show. You've been on 9 times.
Yeah.
Nine times. Number two? You know who number two is?
No.
John Oliver.
Is that right?
Six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so thank you very much.
But the universe is vaster than anything else in the universe.
What? What does that mean? Don't pre-blow my mind. Don't pre-blow my mind. Before before I'm ready for it. We got a lot of interview here.
I got there's a lot in the universe to talk about.
Okay, so
relative
sure
to anything else in the universe.
First of all, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Now, does the New Year have any particular astronomical significance?
No.
No, why not?
No, not.
We've gone around the sun, right? We've gone around the sun once.
Yeah, but the place where that we return to, there's nothing special or interesting about it. It's a completely arbitrary spot on the calendar that we have chosen to celebrate the new year. Plus, I think it's a little weird that we all celebrate that instant that the ball drops, and then 1 hour later, they celebrate exactly the same thing, and then an hour later, they do that 24 times around the world.
I know how clocks work, Neil.
The world is not celebrating the same moment. It's odd to me as an astrophysicist, but that's fine. It's culture. That's how we do it.
Could you be more Neil deGrasse Tyson right now? What do you mean? You live to suck the joy out of other people's traditions.
What
do you love? What is worth celebrating? If it's not New Year's.
Almost every other holiday in the year has some astronomical basis. The Chinese New Year, the Jewish New Year, Ramadan, Easter, Lent.
Toyota-thon. All of it.
There's something go. You know, Saturnalia. Christmas.
What does Saturnalia have?
Saturnalia. It's back in the winter.
Yeah.
Where the sun is getting lower and lower in the sky each day.
Yeah.
And you're worried that maybe it'll never come back.
Oh.
And so then.
Is Saturn getting higher in the sky?
Well, no. But Saturn is the god that you pray to and celebrate. And Saturnalia is where everything flips. So the master serves the slave. The slave gives commands.
Oh, okay.
It's an interesting Roman tradition that is long gone.
All right.
But I'm just saying it's in that time of the year where the sun is basically reborn. So it's solstice celebrations. And Christmas was put there to be a good place to sort of bring in all the pagan worshipers who were already celebrating that time of year.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We won. Now, okay, so 2018, what's got you excited for 2018? We won. What are you talking about? We won. What got you excited for 2018?
You not only won, wait, just to be clear.
Okay.
You not only won there.
Yeah.
You won the calendar race, too.
Huh?
The world calendar is the Gregorian calendar after Pope Gregory. Put that into place in 1582. Because the previous Julian calendar was messing up in the year.
It was off by like
10 days.
Okay.
It was off by 10 days.
Yeah.
And the Pope said, we got to fix this. So
the Pope fixed it.
Pope! Well, Pope, his Jesuit scientists.
Okay.
The Jesuit priests were like the academic order of the Catholic. You're Catholic. You should be teaching this, okay?
I'm aware of my religion.
Okay. So there's a Vatican observatory to this day that at the time, before telescopes were invented, Jesuit priests were put into the service of figuring out why the calendar was shifting in the year.
Well, am I correct in saying that it was a Catholic priest who first proposed the idea of the Big Bang?
Yes, Georges Lemaître.
Wow.
Yes, the Big Bang itself. Using Einstein's equations. Einstein could have done it, but he did enough.
Yes.
Laid down the equations. Other people calculated with his equations, and he deduces that the history of the universe must have started with a bang.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So going to 2018.
So Catholics have been in there and multiple times.
You don't have to tell me.
Okay.
I'm Team RC. Now.
Team Roman Catholic. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now. Here. Walking footnote, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I didn't think you brought people with you on that comment, so I'm just helping it out.
You were with me. Okay.
No, anyway, that's not how you asked. Who was not with him? See? Yeah, there you go.
I feel betrayed. All right, so 2018, let me get to the second question of the interview. In 2018, what mystery are you most interested in science cracking? Or what do you think we are likely to learn this year that we're close to figuring out?
In my field, the good thing about it is generally we make discoveries when a mission is launched.
Sure.
So we know when to begin to expect discoveries.
What's the big mission that's reaching its
fruition?
Well,
no, there are missions in progress now to try to understand dark matter and dark energy more than we currently do. We know it's there, but it's a complete mystery. We don't understand the origin of 85% of all the gravity of the universe. It's not black holes, comets, stars, planets. It's none of the above.
So the math says there should be more there, but we can't see it.
Right. So it's actually missing gravity rather than missing mass. It's gravity with no known source.
Which is what I said.
I like to think of it as dark gravity.
Dark gravity.
It's really dark gravity.
Wow.
It's really what it is. Then there's some mysterious pressure in the vacuum of space.
What do you mean?
Which we call dark energy. But we should just call those Fred and Wilma. I joke about this because we don't know what they are.
So wait,
don't give it a name that makes you think we know what it is because we don't actually know what it is. But it's there. We measure it. A mysterious pressure in the vacuum of space that is forcing the universe to accelerate in its expansion. And I've written about this because I lose sleep over this fact. Okay, can I share this? I don't want to be blamed.
I doubt I could stop you.
I don't want to be blamed if
Do
you
it.
Cannot get to sleep tonight.
No, I'll be okay.
Okay, all right. So, this dark energy in the future will render the universe so large, having accelerated so significantly that all the galaxies of the night sky will have accelerated beyond our horizon.
What?
And all the galaxies are the source of our knowledge of cosmology, of the Big Bang. Everything we know about the history of the universe comes to us from these galaxies. If they accelerate beyond our horizon, the next generation of cosmic explorers will only have the stars of the Milky Way to think about. There would have been an entire chapter of the universe ripped from their view. And they will be trying to contemplate an understanding of the universe without a significant part of what its past was. And so I lose sleep wondering, today, was there some previous chapter ripped from the universe itself? And here we are. And here we are, you know, touching the elephant, not knowing that, in fact, there's an elephant standing there. Or maybe there's the shadow of the elephant and the elephant has been moved. We don't know what we don't know. And this leaves me awake at night. I lose sleep over that.
I am not going to get a wink. That's crazy. Hold on, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with our friend Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's talk about something smaller in a way, but
sure.
in sort of mentally, another thing that'll keep you up at night and kind of make your brain explode is...
You know, I'm scared when you pull stuff out.
Like this? Oh, you know what this is.
Oh,
right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so recently into our solar system, above the, what's it called, the plane of the ecliptic?
Sure.
Okay, where the planets go around?
Yeah.
From above or below or whatever,
yeah.
Off the axis of where the planets go around.
If the planets all do this around the sun.
This thing came from deep space, not in our system, not from your Oort cloud or your Kuiper
First
belt.
First time ever an object from interstellar space has been observed to visit our solar system.
Now, this thing's got to be like a ship, right? That looks too much like a spaceship.
This is not a photograph.
What?
This is an artist's rendering. We know it's elongated. I don't believe this is...
Just... You don't get to take... What about that? What about that one right there? You hold it whatever you want.
You got people.
I got people.
You got
Look
people.
At that. Okay,
so,
but it looked like that.
No. So
what do you say? It was elongated?
I'm just saying cigars don't come journeying into solar system.
Which is why it has to be an alien spaceship.
It's a Cohiba cigar.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah?
Asteroids, we know.
Yeah?
Many of them, if not most of them, are loosely held together rubble piles.
Uh-huh.
And if they come near gravitational sources, tidal forces can stretch them so that they become a stream of particles rather than just one solid mass.
So this thing isn't solid?
It is likely not solid.
What is it?
But the signal we get from it is elongated, but it's probably a rubble pile stretched into that shape.
Because
mm-hmm. you don't get that by nature. You don't get that.
Yeah, that's why it's man-made.
Alien-made. You want that to be aliens. Just fess up. You want that to be aliens.
Of course I want that to be aliens.
Okay, so...
That's the whole point of this question that
I've
never
finished. Here's the problem. This thing came in moving fast.
Yeah.
It has escape velocity, a hyperbolic orbit.
What?
Okay, hyperbolic trajectory.
Okay.
That's why we say hyper. Hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Hyper is...
Yeah.
It's got more energy than...
Than a bolic.
Yeah, hyperbolic. It's parabolic, for example.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why it's probably not aliens is its trajectory around the sun was completely determined by gravitational forces.
How do you know?
Because we know. We calculate this. We have this laws of gravity, physics.
Look at this. See this? See that? That trajectory was completely controlled by gravitational forces after it reached its peak up here and came back down, and yet a thinking creature started the process. Okay? It doesn't mean if this came in and goes, oh, gravity did that, but somebody made it go to here. Checkmate. Parabolic. That, my friend, is all a taste of your own medicine.
So this thing, so all I'm saying is, if it's only moving by the force of gravity, then it's not, we presume it doesn't have, like, rockets and things. If this were aliens in some kind of advanced ship, it would be maneuvering, doing interesting things.
But maybe it already maneuvered on its way in. It was doing a close pass around the sun to get a whip and acceleration the way they use satellites to go around the back of a planet to whip them out into outer space. You know how we use
It's all slingshot effect.
You don't have to tell me.
That's right. So, okay, maybe the aliens shut off their engines to masquerade as a cosmic object to get a slingshot effect around our star.
Maybe we can't perceive what their engines are and that they have a mode.
It could be, I can just tell you they're off. Whatever they are, they're off. Because a tennis ball would have that trajectory moving at that speed. That's all.
Is there any chance that's a tennis ball?
No. No, and by the way, big news was that the Pentagon was tracking UFOs.
Right, we saw the footage. They released the footage from, like, F-18 fighter pilots on their little scope there where they saw it. It's like a tablet-shaped thing.
Infrared thing.
Accelerating, stopping, changing directions in ways that they can't explain.
That has a way better chance of being aliens than this thing. Because those objects were doing things that were not gravitational.
So what do you think? Do you think that they got something there?
I think we don't know what it is. So hence the U in UFO.
Wow.
Are you going to say?
Yeah.
Well, this is a UFO. I don't know what it is. Therefore, it's intelligent aliens from outer space. You just said you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You can't then be certain it's anything.
I'm not certain. I'm hoping.
You know, but I'm hoping too. I want to meet the aliens.
Okay. You know
By the way, if you ever meet the aliens, they take you on board.
Yeah.
First, take some photos. Okay. First. Second, when they do the sex experiments on you. Okay. So here's what you do. Tell the. That's what they do. We all know that.
Okay. Just check a box or opt in on that. Okay, sure.
Okay.
The probes.
Here's what you do. Tell the alien to look over there. And then quickly snap something off the shelf, like an ashtray or something. Put it in your pocket and then lay it back down on the slab.
Hey.
Then when they let go of you, you've got something of alien manufacture.
Wow.
And then.
So in this scenario, the aliens smoke.
Yeah.
Listen. If I see them, I will give them this, which is your book, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, a New York Times bestseller for 34 weeks.
Crazy. I don't.
Extraordinary.
I'm delighted that appetite is out there. Maybe it opens doors for many more science books to appear there.
Do you have a favorite thing?
May I?
It's your book, man. It's your book.
may I?
Sure.
So the last chapter, Reflections on the Cosmic Perspective. So the words I'm about to read are not mine. They're by James Ferguson, a physicist from the 1700s.
Take it.
If I may.
You may. Hey,
if I may.
I'll get you a glass of mead.
James Ferguson, 1757. Of all the sciences cultivated by mankind, astronomy is acknowledged to be, and undoubtedly is, the most sublime, the most interesting, and the most useful. For, by knowledge derived from this science, not only the bulk of the earth is discovered, but our very faculties are enlarged with the grandeur of the ideas it conveys, our minds exalted above their low, contracted prejudices.
I can't wait to see you for 10. Let's make it an even 2 digits.
Okay.
Astrophysics for People in a Hurry is available now, and Star Talk is on Nat Geo Sundays. Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. We'll be right back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is how it's going to go down. Mr. Tyson was talking about dark matter. The question was asked to him, what keeps you up at night? And his answer was dark matter. Not only did he say dark matter, but he also said negative energy that is processed off the dark matter. And you're saying, George, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with the glory of God? Well, I'm about to explain it to you. Because if you go back and you Google and you listen to it, he talks about the Big Bang Theory and how they know that the Big Bang Theory created the world. Now, notice he said it created the world and it didn't create the universe. When he said it created the world and not the universe, he says within the universe, there's another universe. So we're in a universe within a universe. And space is not comprehensible. It's not even tangible. Do you know why? Because there's no possible way for scientists to go into space and scoop up black matter. They just can't go in there and just grab the whole, it's not like it's a cloud. It's not like it's a whole bunch of jelly up in the star, up in the sky that's holding every star in place. It's not like it's gelatin was holding the universe and the Milky Way in place. He also stated this that was very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. He said that if you look at what they call the scientific horizon based upon how you look at the universe, he says you will look and it's constantly growing. He said it's growing so fast at a rate that 2 to 3 generations will be able to miss the calculations because he said it's like ripping a chapter of a book. And then he goes back and says, we don't even know how many chapters were ripped out before we understood space. So that brings me back to my original thought. We have arguably the most smartest scientist there is in the world. He doesn't necessarily believe in Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I am himself, but he cannot sleep at night because of what Yahweh created. You start talking about the heavens, you got to break the heavens down. And I'm about to break it down for you right now. Right, I'm about to do that for you right now, ladies and gentlemen, because the reality is this is God's creation, and there's nothing anybody can say to take this away. So I'm going to be reading Genesis 1, okay? Genesis 1, New King James Version. It says, in the beginning, God created heavens. Now, notice the word says heaven with an S, and the earth. Heaven. And the earth. Earth is where we presently live as terrestrial creatures. We'll get to the alien part towards the end of the hour. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was on the face of the deep. Let me read that again in case you missed it. The earth was without form. And the void and the darkness was on the face of the deep. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that just explains what God was talking about. I believe this is what Neil was referring, Dr. Neil Tyson was referring to, because you see, the darkness is the dark matter. It hits you right in two. Now, when you said, okay, well, Beth, you said the heavens and the earth, but the Big Bang Theory, when you calculate it, well, you know what? Everything about us is mathematically calculated, right? Yeah, we're going to go into a little science. I ain't saying I got a degree in science, but I know a little bit of something to get me over the hump, right? Because we are made of certain elements of the world. That's nitrogen, carbon, oxygen, and carbon dioxide. That's found in every living thing on planet Earth. Every living thing. Things that was created from the Earth. Interesting, huh? Now, check this out. Verse 3 says, then God, excuse me, let me go back. I have to finish 2. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God called light day, and darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning was the first day. Ladies and gentlemen, the deepness of what Mr. Dr. Tyson was referring to sits right there in the first part of Genesis. So for those people who don't believe in the Word of God, that's fine. That's completely fine. But to understand the ruling, to understand the majesty of God, to understand the love of God, to understand the mysteries of God, you got to know the Word. They're going to have people that are going to debate whether this is right or whether this is wrong. And that's fine. You can debate all you want. But my question again is, if the smartest man in the world in his field does not understand dark matter, nor does he understand dark energy, and we're about to get to dark energy, I'm not saying that I have all the answers in the world. But what I do have is the Word of God, and the Word of God does not come back void. All right, now let's talk about negative energy. He stated that the dark matter itself produces negative energy in the atmosphere and space. Where there's a negative, there has to be a positive. The energy that we produce on the planet Earth collides with the negative energy in space. I was having a conversation with my wife, who's brilliant. I love her. And she was telling me that because there is salt, and if you don't know what, you know, salt is, you know, it is Na. On the periodic table, okay? The element of salt is positively charged. Because we are a walking battery of energy, because we have electrons, neutrons, protons, and neutrons in us, we are positively and negatively and neutral within our own body, creating what you would call a magnetic or energized. We also know that the Earth itself is a giant magnet. Inside of the Earth, in the core, in the actual core itself of the Earth, and also at the poles, they also juminate electrical magnetic pulses. If you understand that, and you understand that we as human beings put off energy. As we put off energy, you have heard it said before, you need to change the way that you think. Because if you don't change the way that you think, you will never be a better person, right? They say, birds of a feather flock together. Another way of saying that is the energy that you put out, energy that you draw back. What does that have to do with black matter? Dark matter, excuse me. What does that have to do with negative energy? The Earth itself is the polar opposite of negative energy. The Earth itself is the opposite of dark matter. The dark matter God created, it was void. The Earth was void because of the depths of the water. I mean, it was just a big planet of water. But the cosmos itself, was darkness. Because you have to understand, once again, when you go to Genesis, it states specifically, he says that he divided the day between the night. Now, how can he divide the day and the night, right, if there is no darkness? If there is nothing to hold the sun, which is a star, in place, or the moon in place? And you say, well, it's not technically in place because it does rotate and it revolves. That would be correct, ladies and gentlemen. It is not stationary. But what it does do is it doesn't fall away. There is no up or down in space. Space itself, the reason why we know we go up to space is because we have to look up. We are two-dimensional creatures. We're not 3D. We're not four-dimensional. We're not five-dimensional, six-dimensional. We are 2D creatures. We can see up and down and left and right. That's all the only thing we can see. So to us, yes, if you're continuously going up in space, then it seems like you're going up. But what about if you get put in another galaxy? If you're put in another galaxy, up could be down and down could be up, or left could be right and right could be left. We don't know. It could be all mixed up. But the reality is God created this. Yahweh has created something that man cannot definitively understand. He said it keeps him up at night because he could not. He does all the great things that he's wrote about, all the great things he's accomplished, everything that he's doing at the museum in New York, all the stuff that he's done on TV and all the stuff that he's written about does not even hold a torch to his desire to know what dark matter is. We as human beings are very peculiar people, beings. I shouldn't say people. I would say beings, because the beings in the sense of what I'm talking about now, because I'm talking about celestial, which it means spiritual being, and then I'm talking about terrestrial beings, which is what means earthly beings, are from the earth beings. So in these realms, this is how I'm working. Every time I come on the show, I always read Ephesians 6 through 13. And why do I do that? I do that because I need you guys to understand that this, what we see, flesh and blood, is nothing. This is just a shell. And we're continuously finding out new things about things. And I'm telling you, in the next couple of weeks, when I start to continue on these shows, I am going to break down some stuff that you are going to be like, okay, we got to go do some research, because the reality is I'm finding out things that are factual. I'm finding out things that not only are factual, but are also in the Bible. For those naysayers who don't believe in the Bible, for those naysayers who don't believe in the Word, for those naysayers who don't believe Yahweh is the Yahweh or Jesus is the Savior, ladies and gentlemen, I can't put it any closer than what I'm giving to you now. Now, let's move to the third and final point. The third and final point, right? Scary stuff. Scary, scary, scary stuff. So, as they, and I say they, I'm talking about Dr. Tyson and Mr. Colbert, they were talking about this picture that all of a sudden, I mean, just out of nowhere. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making this up. This is them saying this. This is not me. I'm repeating on what they said. I've looked it up. Listen. There is a meteorite that just popped out of thin air. Now, Colbert was making jokes and trying to be funny, talking about it's an alien spaceship. But Dr. Tyson was talking about it could be an asteroid, a meteor, or something to that nature. But he said it is too perfectly formed for it to be a solid formation. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to have to get you to understand this. I'm going to have to get y'all to understand this because it's about to get real. It is about to get really real. I've talked about the seals before, and the seals of God start in Revelation 6. Revelation 6, 7. Make sure. Got it right. I believe it's 6. It starts at 6. It starts in the seals of God in Revelation. Now, you want to know what's going on in the world? You want current events? See, this is why I don't follow current events and come on the show and talk about current events that's happening in the world. The reason why I don't do that is because I don't care about this world. This world does have nothing for me here. Nothing. Nothing for me here. So starting in Revelation chapter 6, the first seal, the second seal, the fourth seal, the fifth seal, and the sixth seal. Now, this is what I need y'all to understand. Okay? Let me make this to you plain and simple, okay? This is chapter 6 of Revelation 6, starting at verse 12. It says, I looked when he opened up the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to earth, as a fig dropped to the last fig when it was shaken by the mighty wind. Then the sky receded, as like a scroll it was rolled up. Every mountain and every island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, and the mighty men, every slave, every free, hid themselves in caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said the mountains and the rock fell on us, and behold, and hid us from the face of him who sat on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Then it goes to chapter 8, and it starts talking about the seventh seal. This, ladies and gentlemen, is crazy. Okay, this is the craziness that I'm referring to. Okay, so in the seventh seal, it talks about the prelude of the seven trumpets. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. For 30 minutes, there was silence. And I saw seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints ascended before God for the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it onto the earth. And when it was, and there was noise, thundering, and lightning, and earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded and fell and held the fire mangled in, with blood, and they were thrown to earth. The third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt. When the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burn with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. It fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. The third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what it said? It says the name of the star was named Wormwood. I'm not making this up. Now, I'm not saying that the specific thing that they were referring to is called wormwood, right? Now, once again, this is my personal opinion. My personal opinion is it could be, because you have to understand what he said. Kobar said that it could be using our atmosphere to, or our the gravitational pull in our galaxy in order to shoot back out into the cosmos, or back into another galaxy, like a slingshot effect, which is totally possible. Now, when they start talking about aliens, we've already talked about what aliens are. Dr. Monroe's already broken down who angels are. So, I mean, if you don't know who the aliens are, then you need to go back and listen to my podcast about angels. You need to go back and listen to my podcast about Lucifer. You need to go back and listen to my podcast when I talk about the heavenly hosts. Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing new under the sun. There's no such thing as aliens. There's no such thing as something that is new. It's always been the same way since the beginning of time. The only thing that changes is the people, places, and things. But it doesn't matter. The same thing that you are experiencing, guess what? Somebody in Germany is experiencing the same thing. Is that correct or not correct? Well, let's go back and look at it. Why is it that people can understand songs? Because songs are translatable, meaning they can go and then you can translate a song, and the same words could affect somebody in Japan who speaks no English but come to America and listen to the same artist and get the same word. Because why? They went through the same pain as a person in America. And the song brought them together, and they related because they both shared the same problems. Now, it was interesting they talked about what's so great about this year. What's so great about the correlation of this year? And he said there's nothing great. Like, why should we celebrate New Year's like that? He said, do you not understand that we don't celebrate New Year's at one time, but we celebrate it 24 times? So each country, each time zone in the world has a specific time where they celebrate. And so it's not really necessarily special. Think about this. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, you can go back and listen to the Matrix, what I was talking about, the Matrix. If we are in the Matrix, which I believe that we are, if we are in the Matrix, that means every time they would drop the ball, we're having a glitch, which would say symbol deja vu. What's deja vu? Something that has already happened. You see the glitch? We don't consider that to be a glitch because we're human and we're like, oh, well, we're in America. We celebrate different. Listen, well, it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. We have human beings making these rules, but that is commanded by principalities, that are commanded by powers, that are commanded by authorities, by dominions, by virtues, and these are superior angels. Superior angels of the second tier that are acting really crazy, getting human beings to do things that they shouldn't be doing, and they defile themselves. This is why you have the seals and the trumpets, because you have to go back and read what it said about in seal 6. We've already had a major earthquake. We've already had the eclipse of the sun. Now, from what I understand, and this is what I got in school, was that eclipse means to hide, eclipso, to hide. So if you have a solar eclipse, you're having a system that is moving through the earth that gives birth to life. When it talks about blotting out the sun, and I'll talk about this on another time. I'm not going to go into great examples, because I want to save that, because it's a very special revelation that I got from God on that. But I just wanted to get this out, because I believe and I know that the word of God will continue to stand strong, that will continue to be firm, and will not come void. See, revelation means the end. When the end of the apocalypse, right? That's what it means. Revelation means apocalypse. So the apocalypse of the ending. The ending is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you have questions, please email me, please write me, please, we can talk this thing out, because I am not above anything if somebody's got more information than me. This is only what I perceive. This is only what God has given me, and God has probably just gave me a fraction of what's really going on. I don't know. I don't know all things. But I will leave you with this, ladies and gentlemen. Do not let somebody tell you something and you don't go do your own research. Do not let somebody tell you and you take it and you believe it. Please research it. Please do thorough. This is the thing that I have been fighting is now that people talk about fake news or they're talking about fake facts, listen. Everybody's got an opinion, but when it comes to facts, facts are real. And let me be careful on what you read. We have books that are false, okay? Because I'm about to break it down to you. Guess who the Hebrews are? The black people are Hebrew. Now, you can debate me whatever you want to say, and whatever you're gonna be wasting your breath, because while I have been offline, I have been doing grave, deep genealogy. And I will be bringing that forth in the next coming episodes, because we're going to be talking about genealogy. We're going to be talking about genes. We're going to talk about DNA. We're going to break this down like a shotgun. And then, you scholars, then you educated, then you people who know, oh, no, come to me and try to defute what I say. Please. My name is George Beverly, a.k.a. G-Bev. This is Sound Off Forum. The next time I hear you, I see you, I talk to you, you should be sounding off.
Kai.